Spartan Hollow and their tune Poison and Wine from their recording The Civil Wars. That was quite a beautiful tune. And let me get James potted up here. Get real close to the mic there, James.
All right.
Okay, so after a long time waiting, I'm pleased to welcome James McCandless to the Folk Show. Hey, James. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Love to be on the radio.
It's probably been a while since you've had the chance to do that.
Well, it's a lot of fun. You don't have to shave. You don't have to dress up. You know.
Right, and I left my iPhone at home, so I can't even take any pictures. And
that's good. You know,
Jim's lovely wife Dee didn't bring her phone either to take pictures, so people will just have to imagine. That's the way radio is meant to be experienced anyway.
The last time I was going to be on the show, I sprained a tendon as I was getting my guitar out of the car. It was like, I think it was like 20 below zero that day.
Right. I remember you had slipped on the ice, right?
I was injured on my way up the stairs.
Well, we don't have to worry about any ice today at all.
Yeah, I made it in one piece.
Yeah, and I know you've had some health issues, but you're doing okay now, right?
I'm a total health issue. No, I'm doing real well, actually.
Good, good, because I saw you had last year, it's now last year, 2011, you had quadruple bypass surgery.
Yeah, I had bypass surgery in November, and I'm on cardio rehab now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was that recent? I didn't realize it was just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm on the treadmill now, Treadmill City. And so that's a lot of fun. Actually, it makes you feel really good. I mean, it gets the old pump, the old blood pumping.
Yeah,
You feel really good on the off day. On the day of the treadmill, you go home and pow on the couch.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're glad you're still with us, of course, because I was looking at your biography on the website, and your dad only made it to 53, I think.
Yeah,
so.
It's a family disease, polycystic kidney disease, that goes back 100 years, killed everybody on my father's side of the family, going back 100 years.
Wow.
My brother and I are the first to survive with kidney transplants.
Wow.
And I don't consider myself unlucky. I consider myself the luckiest guy in the world, actually.
Right.
I can take all the medication and all the rehabs and all of that because, I'm just glad to be here.
Good, good.
I'm 67, you know.
Wow.
I'm an old guy.
Well, since all of our audience may not be familiar with your work, why don't we have you play a tune, and then we'll talk a lot more as well.
So. Okay, sure. I'll sing a song about the house I live in. We were lucky. We had a big backyard, no garage, no weeping willow tree. No chain link fence, but just a lot of grass and a bush that we used for a backstop during wiffle ball games, and a hill to the yard next door. Yes, we were lucky. We had a big backyard. On the roof was a mighty wallop for an 8-year-old. We played capture the flag and a game called It. It was big enough for it. It was too small for football. Blah, 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 blah. We were lucky. We had a big backyard. Thank you. had a big backyard in the winter when it was good packing. We built giant walls of snow. We had great snowball wars, sometimes a little too great. We'd get hit in the eye just like Mother said. Yes, we were lucky. We had a big backyard. It was big enough for three tents full of kids and their musty sleeping bags. Big enough for the grown-ups to drink beer and play cards. For some hearts to get bruised, for some to fall in love. Lucky, we had a big backyard.
James McCandless, We Had a Big Backyard. That was great, James. And that's the title track to one of your recordings, right?
Yeah, we did that one in that one came out in about 1989.
And what's the best way people can get your music through your website, right?
Yeah, I have a snazzy new website that my brother-in-law, Gary Schwartz, put together for me.
Mm-hmm. And that's jamesmccandless.com.
Yeah, jamesmccandless.com. But the most convenient place for people in the Evanston area, of course, is the great Hogeye Music Store,
right?
1920 Central Street.
Right, where you taught guitar for a long time.
I was over there for quite a long time, working for Jim Craig.
Yeah.
Wonderful store with just about everything in folk music, the greatest collection of CDs you'll ever find. Martin guitars, high-end guitars, mm-hmm. and reasonably priced guitars. With Jim Craig, who's probably the best guitar repairman in the whole Midwest.
Right, and he's still a wonderful performer, too. He doesn't play too often, but...
Well, he's one of the best folk singers in America.
And he's so shy, too.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, no, Jim is a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Yeah, so let's talk about, before we hear some more music, let's talk about your background, like the tune you just played, We Had a Big Backyard. I assume that's autobiographical. It's about your own backyard.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at my songs today, and I see that they all sort of start off with something that's happened to me, and
mm-hmm.
Then I sort of extrapolate on there and go off and on an imaginary trail. But they usually start off with something autobiographical.
Now, was that the backyard after you had moved to Chicago, or is this the one back out west? Because I
no,
saw
that's,
you were...
that's the one out in Edison Park.
Okay.
I was pretty much raised out there from the age of six until the 70s when I moved down into the Lincoln Park
mm-hmm.
area, and I was down there my wife and I were down there for about 20 years, and then I moved back. Mm-hmm. Back to Edison Park, so
yeah.
I'm at that same place now.
Oh, yeah, Edison Park's a nice area. A lot of good restaurants out there. In fact, there used to be a great Italian place that closed that we used to go to. Who's now Basta Pasta?
Oh, Basta Pasta.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
I don't know why they just suddenly disappeared.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there.
Yeah,
we used to eat there all the time. Yeah.
So, how old were you when you moved to when your mom moved you to Chicago?
I was six.
Mm-hmm.
We moved in 1950.
Okay.
The house cost $13,000. You know, you can't eat dinner for $13,000.
Of course, if you know the real estate crisis keeps going, you might be able to pick houses up again for $13,000 before too long.
Yeah, it's gone up and come back down again, right?
And did you start playing guitar at a young age?
Right about then. Mm-hmm. I was 6 or 7 years
old. Wow, so you started really young.
Oh, yeah. My parents bought me guitars and 12-string guitars and bongo drums, and they knew right off the bat that I was
you know, sort of a born musician.
Mm-hmm. So did you attempt to do anything else with your life once you were done with high school, or did you...
Yeah, I was an electrician for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the family trade. My dad was an electrician, so was my brother, and I just sort of automatically went into it, but it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, I used to go home early from work so I could play the guitar. You know?
And I know you taught guitar for a good long time beside at Hawkeye, I think, before that, were you
Old Town School? Folk music, yeah. I was there from 1980 to 1989.
And I saw your first album wasn't until 85, so for a while were you just kind of teaching and not...
Yeah, I was teaching kids at the Old Town School.
So...
Tough job, you know, singing Beatles songs with children. That's really rough work, you know.
I would have enjoyed that.
Submarine and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed that.
Well, it was wonderful.
So back then when you were first teaching, were you writing yet, or were you just basically playing other people's music?
Yeah, I had started writing in the 60s.
Okay.
You know, to tell you the truth, I got turned on to writing my own songs by the album that the band came out with, the music mm-hmm. from Big Pink.
Oh, yeah.
That one
yeah.
really got me going.
Mm-hmm.
And also Bob Dylan's John Wesley Harden album mm-hmm. that got me going, too.
Uh-huh. Cool.
That's about when I started writing songs.
But at the time you started teaching at the Old Town School in 1980, were you already also occasionally performing, or was that not till later on?
Yeah, no, I had started performing about 1970.
Okay.
In Irish bars.
Mm-hmm. And you must have played a lot of the old folk clubs, too, like Somebody Else's Troubles.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the good old days, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, let's hear some else from you. And I see you play, you have a couple guitars, and you play Larrivee guitars.
Larrivee guitars, right. They're made in Canada, Jean Larrivee.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful guitars. He goes out into the woods and picks the tree that he wants to use for the top.
Wow.
Honestly, it's cool. Unbelievable.
That's pretty cool.
The devil and it worked so hard. He dug a ditch in my front yard. Why he chose me, heaven knows. My dull demeanor, I suppose. Well, he tried to drag me in that hole, but I was stubborn and I would not go. Jumped up and that devil jumped down. I was stubborn and I stood my ground. Well, he misjudged me, a big mistake. Beating that devil was a piece of cake. Thought I was weak, but I showed him how I could fight like Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao. Punched that devil in the gut, and then I laid him out with an uppercut. That uppercut came from my heel. That poor old scratch began to squeal. No moss, no moss, I've had enough. I had no idea you'd play so rough. I thought I could beat you, but I was wrong. Better go downstairs where I belong. But I grabbed that devil by the tail. I stuck him to the barn with a silver nail. A silver nail and a hammer of stone. Upside down till the cows come home. Cows come home.
cows came home for the dinner bell. They looked at the devil and laughed like hell. Laughed like hell and hit the hay. Tomorrow is a milking day, milking day. Beat the devil and it set me free. He underestimated me. Common man won't run and hide when he's got righteousness inside. Righteousness. Well, I beat the devil and it worked so hard. He dug a ditch in my front yard. Why he chose me, heaven knows. My dull demeanor, I suppose.
Sweet. WNUR-FM, Evanston, Chicago, Ron Lewis with James McCandless. And if you're looking for his stuff, McCandless is spelled McCandless. You don't have to worry about the capitalization when you go on the web, of course. And your latest recording, James, is called what? One, I think?
One.
One.
Right.
And that came out about a year ago, I think? Or
I came out last year.
Yeah. And again, the best way to get James' music is at jamesmccandless.com. And he's got his bio there and all the recordings. And I know that Andrew Calhoun carries your music as well. And you're on some of the Waterbug compilations. I remember your tune, I think, Memorial Day.
Right.
Was on one of the early Waterbug samplers. And great tune. Before you came on, we were playing a Steve Goodman tune, and before we came on mic, you mentioned some things about Steve. Did you used to play with him and see him perform back then?
No, I didn't play with him, but I saw him play many times.
Mm-hmm.
I actually saw John Prine's first performance.
Wow.
At a little place called the Fifth Peg,
mm-hmm.
which was kitty corner from the Old Town School.
Right.
Yeah, my wife and I went down. We lived right there on Fremont in,
mm-hmm.
in Armitage.
Sure.
We walked down to the Fifth Peg to see this guy they were calling the singing mailman.
Right.
And there were about seven people in the audience,
mm-hmm.
And we came out of there and walked down the street. We said, this guy's like Hank Williams. This guy's unbelievable. And, of course, within a couple of months, he was big star.
Yeah, and of course Andrew sings about John Prine, has that great tune about John Prine.
But Steve Goodman was, he was probably the best entertainer of that I've ever seen,
yeah.
To tell you the truth. He just blew the roof off the place whenever
right.
he played.
Right, and his mom is still with us, Minette.
Yeah.
So we see her at a lot of folk music functions, so Steve was a great one. So when you were growing up listening to music, beside, the band influencing you to start writing, who did you used to listen to?
Well, when I was a little kid, not a little kid, I guess it was about 12, I loved the Weavers, Odetta,
mm-hmm.
Lead Belly, Big Bill Brunzi,
mm-hmm.
and those,
yeah.
those early blues players.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to try to sing like Odetta. What a joke that was.
I didn't ask you the last tune you played. What was that one called? The one where you
Beat the Devil.
Yeah. Well, you definitely did.
Well, you were talking about my medical situation, and I had that heart surgery in November from mm-hmm. The world's greatest heart surgeon, Jonathan Summers, out at Lutheran General Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a guitar player.
Oh. So
when I heard that, I said, you are
he's
the man.
He's the doctor for me, yeah.
You're the man for me. And my other doctor, the guy that has been taking care of me for the last 20 years, Dr. Daniel Canaz. He's become quite a good friend. He's a pretty funny guy, too, sort of. We got a Groucho Marx sense of humor. So the other day he said to me, you know, Jim, you're so healthy, you're dangerous. So I don't know how that applies to my lifestyle, you know, like, stick him up, give me all your cash, or I'm going to sing you a folk song.
You know? Now, over the years, I know you've done some recording with your then musical partner, Julianne Macaras.
That's right.
Do you still stay in touch with her?
Yeah, we do play sometimes now, but she's moved up to Wisconsin, so it's not quite as easy as it used to be.
And is it your plan, once you get through your rehabilitation, are you going to try to do some live gigs?
I'm trying to crank it up. I've got a nice gig lined up for that Fitzgerald's in March.
Oh, great.
I'll be playing with Nathan Bell. Have you heard of Nathan Bell?
No, no.
He's a wonderful songwriter. He lives in Nashville. But you wouldn't want to call him a Nashville songwriter so much. He's more of a poet. His father is Marvin Bell, who is a world-famous poet. So that's going to be a great gig in March.
Cool. Well, I know your songs, of course, are very poetic. Because of that, then, because they tell stories, do you tend to come up with the words before the music? What's your style of writing this tune?
Well, I'll get some sort of a hook that I can hang the song on. Something will come along, and I'll start from a line and then just sort of take it from there. And the lyrics dictate the music. The lyrics come first.
And I imagine your number one sounding board as you're writing a tune is the woman sitting in the corner outside the studio there.
Well,
your,
she thinks
your wife
everything
D.
I do is great. That's why we've been together.
For what, 35, 36 years? Or?
How many years is it? 40. We're going on 43 years.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, she just keeps feeding me compliments, so I wouldn't want to change horses in the middle of the street.
Not at 67, no.
Anyway, before I had this procedure, I got some great advice from a waitress at an Irish pub.
Okay.
Everything is ready. Your tables wait and try the soup you should. Onions, leeks, and plenty of potatoes. The chef's from Paris, so it must be good. It's Sunday morning, so they can't sell whiskey till the church bells chime at 12:15. Then the doors swing open, the lads are frisky, their throats are thirsty, and the souls are clean. A Colleen dancing with a grim demeanor, on metal cleats as loud as war. Tapping toes, sparking heels like firecrackers on the cobblestone floor. Fiddlers, whistlers, pipers, listeners, jigs and reels in the key of D. Pints of gargle on every table, £1.60, but the music's free. Gloomy, a tearful talker with medical problems on my mind. pints of Guinness like flying saucers sailing past my watery eyes. The waitress told me not to worry, make the most of your life tonight. The doctors, nurses, everybody's skillful, everything's gonna be alright. Sheila told me it'll be alright. Make the most of your life tonight. Everybody has it rough sometimes. Tough it out, it'll be alright, alright, alright. Sheila said it'll be alright. Make the most of your life tonight. Everybody has it rough sometimes. Tough it out, it'll be all right, all right, all right.
James McCandless. What do you call that one, James?
Sheila said.
And is Sheila the waitress's actual name?
Yabby. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a great place, too. Great, great place for music. So that one, since you, if you wrote that just, you know, around the time of your surgery, that one obviously is not on any of the your albums.
No, that
yet,
one's
right?
Only a couple of weeks old.
Wow. I
sort of stumbled through the lyrics on that one.
Well, you were fine. You were fine. Well, you want to do one more?
Yeah.
And it could be something you've recorded or something you wrote recently, whatever your pleasure.
Well, my throat's a little hoarse today because I stayed up late last night. I didn't want to watch the Republican debates, so I watched the Charlie Chaplin movies on AMC instead. So, and
my favorite one is The Circus. Was that one?
The Circus was on last night. It was so funny.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, with the lions and the tigers yeah. and the donkey chasing them. And just an absolute genius. Absolute genius. Yeah. But speaking of geniuses.
You referring to yourself?
No, I'm referring to my longtime friend and music partner, Julianne Macaras. Mm-hmm. So here's a little song for her. I was strolling through the Sistine Chapel on my way to work one day, when I happened to glance up at the ceiling to a guy on a scaffold highway. I said, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing? How come you paint that ceiling so?" He said, "No, I'm just goofing around. You know how it goes." And then he winked as he said it. I stashed that wink away deep in a secret chamber to use on a rainy day. Now it's a star in my heart of darkness, 1,000 feet below. And that wink has magic power from a long time ago. you, man, for that sleight of hand. Michelangelo. Thank you, man, for that sleight of hand. Mr. Michael.
Beautiful. What was that one called?
Michelangelo.
And that makes sense. And did you write that or did Julianne write that?
That's one of mine, sure. All this stuff is mine.
Yeah. Well, that's just...
I'm an egomaniac, you know. I don't want to do anybody else's stuff.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you come visit with us. You look like you probably have another one.
I sure do.
Well, we'll let you do one more then.
Great, wonderful.
Since you taught guitar all these years, I neglected to ask you how you learned how to play. Did you self-teach or did you take lessons when you were a kid?
I self-taught until 1974, and then I took classic guitar lessons from a great teacher whose name was Paul Ostroff.
Mm-hmm.
He was a local musician for quite some time in the 60s. He studied at Segovia's Institute in Spain.
Wow.
So he was a real taskmaster.
The real deal, yeah.
I think in 4 years of taking lessons from him, he only gave me one compliment. He said one time, he said, "Boy, that was beautiful." I said, you know, I looked at him like, "What's the matter with you? What did you have for breakfast?" You know, like, and yeah, he was a tough teacher, but I never could master the classic guitar stuff that he was throwing at me, but it did wonders for my
technique. damn good. All right, so we'll have you play one more tune, and then we'll go right into some recorded music. So I'll thank you now for joining us, and James will be playing at Fitzgerald's in March. We'll certainly let you know about that here on the show, and we'll Twitter about it or Facebook or whatever. We'll let you guys know about it. And this last one you're going to do today is called what, James?
This is a song I wrote for my wife on an anniversary several years ago.
Oh, so you had to do it.
The song is called Sea of Freedom. Without her, I'd be nowhere. This is for you, Dee. I come from the old school, Hearts and Flowers University, burning that midnight oil and working on a new age degree. They say I've got a lot to learn, reluctantly I must agree. They say if I would expand my mind, an ocean would open for me. But I don't know how to swim. I can't even float. I don't want to sail that ocean without you as my boat. I know it's old-fashioned. Without you, I would drown in a sea of freedom. Some old shoes. I walk down a new street. I can feel the concrete burning the bottoms of my feet. I could walk that giant's causeway down to the sea and let that ocean water run all over me. But I don't know how to swim. I can't even float. I don't want to sail that ocean without you as my boat. I know it's old-fashioned, but without you, I would surely drown in a sea of freedom. I know it's old-fashioned, but without you, Dee, I would drown in a sea of freedom.
James McCandless on The Folk Show.